Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Casual Nonsense. I am Mark, your host, of course. Today, Lord Booze joins me, and we do a quick little March Madness episode. We get into like who we think for Final Four. We get into a little Boston sports, talk about some Olympics. So a lot of springtime sports coming up and into the summertime. So tune in, check it out, and see what you think. Thanks. All right, well, welcome back to Casual Nonsense. Today we're doing a March Madness episode. So everyone loves March Madness, college basketball. It's really the only time of the year that I think people pay attention to it, at least those non-college basketball fans or the fair-weathered fans like myself. So today I have Lord Booze, who's, you're on the sports team. You're on the Casual Nonsense sports team. Booze, what's up, my brother?
I'm a first-round pick on the Casual Nonsense sports team.
You seem to be, man. It seems to be. You're the self-declared champion of the podcast itself, and then you just add the sports team.
Self-declared returning champion.
That's right. So Mr. Tim couldn't join us today. Maybe, thinking of him in memory. So shout out to Tim. So I hope you're enjoying your wherever you're at, maybe vacation perhaps. This is in honor of you, my friend, and we'll get you on the next one.
And rumor has it Tim's ducking us because the Knicks are falling apart.
Oh, he's going to be rolling over right now listening. Like, he's going to be texting you as soon as he hears that.
Can't wait.
I love it. So let's start with this, Booze. Some exciting news in North Carolina last week, or exciting for some. I don't know if it's for everybody. It's probably going to long-term, probably bad news for most. But in North Carolina, they legalized sports betting. So I'm now able to join on to DraftKings or any of the 17 other emails I get on a daily basis to join their betting service. It's pretty cool. DraftKings does a welcome to North Carolina promotion. So every day there's like some added bonuses, or they're giving me like basically free money is what I've gotten. So there was bets where they'd say, team A and team B were playing against each other. And if either team scores a point, you double your money, max bet $50. So I said, okay. So I bet $50 and then I won $100 just for betting. Because
they know that's the way they let you in.
Yeah. Yep. They know I'm betting all that money right back at them. So that's fine. That's going to last me a while though, because I bet small.
I do too, actually. And we had the same thing in Mass when it opened up about a year and a half ago. Yeah. Like the Celtics to score 1 point and you win like $100.
I like our chances. Yeah.
Yeah. I like our chances.
That's awesome. So yeah. So I've doubled up my money pretty much since the sports betting has opened up. So it's been pretty cool. Like you can boost a bet. Like I can bet on, I went to a couple of hockey games I went to a hockey game last week and I randomly pick a player to score a goal and they haven't, but I'd bet like a dollar, and if they score, I win $15, like that's the kind of odds that I like to go. I like to go long shots.
Yeah. You have to pick it. Like we've talked about the podcast before, the Booze Locks, you have to kind of get some decent odds to put money down on these things. I really like the ESPN bet app and I like the DraftKings app. Those are two of my FanDuel too. Those are my top three. That's the only three I stay with, are those three.
We're gonna get into some Booze Locks before this episode is over, so we'll have everyone stay tuned for that. But let's jump into what we're here for. We got March Madness. The brackets were just released. We got some March Madness starting up this week. So we're not going to get into every matchup because that's a little ridiculous, and that's not what we do here. As I mentioned, I'm a casual college basketball fan. Especially March Madness time. I got into it, a bunch of years ago just because I live in the South and, there's always three or four teams in North Carolina that are in the tournament, usually. So it's exciting and people around here are excited. So I wanted to be excited too. For March Madness, this is a good time for the gambling to become legal because this is what's going to happen. But you're a huge fan of March Madness, right? This is a good time of the year for you.
Diehard fan. I've been watching March. I've been watching the tournament we call it the tournament, or that's diehards, since the 90s. And I've always loved it. I was a Duke fan growing up, which now looks like the evil empire. I look like, oh my God, I was such a scumbag kid cheering on Duke because everybody hates Duke.
Yeah.
But I grew up loving Bobby Hurley and that team when they beat Vegas in, like, I think it was like 1989 or something.
The Running Rebels?
I hated UNLV. Oh, I couldn't stand those guys. Yeah, I grew up with the Fab Five, Michigan. I always loved it that a buddy of ours used to run a major pool where I grew up, and he had like hundreds of people. And as a kid, I was like the only kid allowed to do it. And it was a fun – I just always loved college basketball. I always grew up in the Big East. So I am a Big East snob, and actually my son goes to a Big East school, so I've kind of vicariously like lived through him now in his Big East team. But I love the tournament. It's to me an awesome time of year.
Now, is it just the tournament you like, or you like everything leading up to it? Because the tournament's what? This is about, we got about a 3-week stretch right here.
Yep, 3 weeks. I watch college basketball throughout the year. I mean, I watch the Big East now a lot more because my son's at a school and I'm cheering on the Big East. But I don't see every conference. I'm not sitting up till like 1 a.m. watching games, but I stay in tune to what's going on.
Yeah, I don't do any. If it's on or people are talking about it, and then I'll check it out. I'll check some scores, but you know, that's about the extent of it for me. But
so you don't want to dig in deep with the tournament, like the BYU Duquesne 6-11 game. We don't want to talk about a half an hour in that game coming up.
I mean, if it's important to you, Booze, then it's important to me. if you're asking me what I'd prefer, right? But you know, I'll watch a lot of the March Madness games. We'll actually put them on at work too. We got TVs around the office, and we'll have them on, so people are always checking those things out. You know, it's exciting because everyone's a fan of something. There's always teams that people root for. Like you said, you're a Big East guy. There's people that are, you know, this tournament, that tournament. So they're everywhere, right?
It's one of the only rare sports events we have on the calendar that takes place during the workday. It's like, feels like a holiday. It's like the tournament, the golf majors, because they start on Thursday and Fridays, and like the Olympics. Like those are the only ones that happen during like your work day most times. So
yeah,
it's just something cool like Thursday. I love having the games on my computer, and you got the boss button there where you click it and it turns into a spreadsheet so no one can see you watching the game. Like they've had that forever. I used to have it in my old house, have 4 TVs and have 4 games up at once. It was like awesome. I used to have a bunch of people over. So of course the older you get, the more you have to work. You can't catch all these games, but now you can catch them all on your phone anyways. It's going to be a fun tournament this year. It's pretty wide open.
That's the ultimate man town setup right there with 4 TVs. That's actually a small dream of mine. I have just the 1 TV in my office here, but last year I almost replaced this one with 2 TVs for that reason, so that I could, you know, I like to multitask when I do stuff. I could play an Xbox game and watch a movie. I want to put 2 different games on. Like I want to have options, and they had multiple TVs to do that.
I had it. It was great.
I'm jealous because that's I don't have the wall space in here, I think, to put 4, but I would do it. If the room allowed me to do so, it's going to happen. All right, let's get into each region then, right? So why don't we do this? Why don't we I know who I picked for the Final Four, and, you know, we'll let you – me again, I no experience here. I don't recommend anybody bet on anything that I'm saying because I have no knowledge of this. This is just me picking with my gut, okay?
Okay. Let's do it. You say it first. I'm going to see what I think.
Okay. We'll start the Midwest.
Midwest. All right. Fire away.
I got Tennessee coming out of the Midwest.
Okay. The Vols. 2 seed. Okay. Vols are pretty good. They're going to be a danger team. I like a couple teams, but I'm a big fan of Creighton and I'm a big fan of Kansas. So I'm going to go with the Creighton Blue Jays. They're a Big East team. They're number 3. They got some great players. They're one of the best centers in the league. So I'm going the Creighton Blue Jays.
Okay. Let's see. That was the Midwest we said, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I had Tennessee beating Kansas. That was my pick. All right. So we'll move on to the West. And, of course, I'm going with my homer pick, which is the UNC Tar Heels.
Yeah, I don't like that pick at all.
Well, after them losing to NC State the other day, then you know, I feel less confident, but I'm rolling with them anyway.
I'm going with Baylor. They've been to the Final Four before. They got a great coach. I see Baylor in the Final Four again.
Okay, you like Baylor at 3.
Yep.
Okay. All right, if we go to the South Division, I like Wisconsin coming out of the South for no apparent reason. I'm just going with Wisconsin. I like cheese.
Wisconsin had a great run in the Big Ten tournament. Something about them, they are hard to kill. They are always a tough team to play against. I really love Marquette, but I want to go chalk here. The Houston Cougars have been unstoppable this year. And yeah. I think Houston's going to the Final Four.
You think number 1 seed all the way to the end, huh?
Yeah. I think they got a pretty easy road. They're tough. They're physical. They don't score a ton of points, but they are a tough defensive team. Houston and Marquette would be in a great 8 matchup. I would bet the under all day long on that one.
Okay. Finally, the East. I'm picking this one for Tim. He's a big UConn fan, so I'm going UConn. I'm going UConn to the Final Four.
As painful as it is, it's the Huskies. So I'm cheering for him now because I'm a Big East fan, so I want the Big East teams. And they only got 3 teams in the tournament, which was a complete joke. St. John's and Providence should have been in there, and Seton Hall. UConn's by far the best team in the country. They won last year. So are they the first repeat since Florida? I think they got a great chance. They're deep. They're long. They can shoot. Hurley's a nut of a coach. He's a complete lunatic, but he gets them to play. They're playing in Brooklyn, and I believe they play in Boston before they go to the Final Four. And
that's home, I guarantee games, you,
yeah, home games, full home games. Their crowd is one of the best traveling fan bases in the country. When you only have to drive 2 hours to see them play, they will have the Husky Nation there, and they're going to the Final Four and probably win the national title.
So Final Four, for me, I have UConn playing UNC, and I get Wisconsin playing Tennessee. When I lay it out like that, that seems completely unbalanced on one side. But for me, I'm picking, I'm sticking with my homer pick. I'm going UNC versus Tennessee in the championship.
And UNC versus Tennessee, huh?
Yeah. And I got UNC for the championship, which, you know, because I picked them, they probably won't win, but I'm rolling with it anyway.
Okay. Well, I have UConn coming out of one bracket, no doubt about it. And I have Houston. I have two ones going at each other in the championship game. And right now I have the Houston Cougars.
You like the Cougars beating up on
UConn as of right now. I'm going to change my mind three times before Thursday. But right now I feel like Houston, looking at the bracket tonight, I like Houston winning the national title.
All right. Well, there it is. I say UNC. You say Houston. I can speak for Tim when I know he's going to go UConn all the way. So I think that's going to be our three, the casual nonsense picks. So we'll follow up with those later as it comes and see how we do.
It's the only good basketball team Tim is cheering on right now.
No Knicks.
UConn might be better than the Knicks.
So you said they're playing in the East for UConn, right? So they're playing up in New York and then back in Boston.
I believe it's Boston. Yeah.
What do they play in Boston? At the Garden?
Yep. Yeah, they have a regional final there every like couple of years. I went one year. It was awesome. If you ever have a chance to go see the NCAA tournament, I recommend anybody to do so.
Where, like, how many games do you get the whole day? Like, you go, like, on a Thursday?
And like, the regionals. So you'll go to, like, the Thursday night, which is two games, and then you go to the regional final on the weekend. In the first and second round, you go to like, Brooklyn. They'll have two in the afternoon and two at night. You pay for each session. Each session's two games.
Okay, that's what I was questioning. So you get a two-game session. Okay.
Yep. When you see a lot of teams make a run that shouldn't be in the conference tournament, they usually run out of steam quickly at the regular tournament.
Hey, everyone. Mark here. And I wanted to tell you about a new podcast that I'm hosting. It's called The Double Take, co-hosted by Terrence Jordan. He and I, together, we talk about our favorite rewatchable movies. We try our best to bring our unique insight, and we do as much deep dive and behind-the-scene moments that you didn't even know existed. So if you like movies, give us a listen. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. But to make it easy, you can find the links in the show notes for this episode. So remember, The Double Take. Check us out. And now back to the show.
So I don't bet a lot of money on the teams that like made a great run in the ACC tournament, and they're an 8 seed, and I think they get there, and they're cooked.
Let's move on to Booze Locks then, right? So you got a couple of I don't care which sport you do. If you got a NCAA lock, we'll roll with that. But you got anything else?
Okay, I got a couple of crazy locks. I got the Boston Red Sox under 75 wins this year.
You don't think they're going to do anything this year, huh?
I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the history of the Boston Red Sox.
Have they done anything in the offseason?
No, they said they were going to be. They were going to go full throttle is what their famous line has been, and they have gone full reverse. So the only pitcher they got in the free agency just blew out his shoulder. I think he's getting Tommy John, his elbow, and I think they are a walking train wreck.
Wow!
So bet the under with the Boston Red Sox. That's my first.
How many games they playing in baseball? They still playing 162?
Yeah, 162. Yeah, so bet the under in that one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What else you think?
That's one lock. I watched the Boston Celtics play tonight against Washington, and I talked about them winning the finals, and I think that we already talked that as a booze lock. How about there's some odds about how many wins or losses you have in the playoffs? I don't think they're going to lose more than three games in the Eastern Conference playoffs. You can bet those type of things, and that's I'm going to go with minus under 3.5 losses in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Okay, under 3 losses.
3.5. So if they're 3.5, you want to bet the under of that. So I think they're not going to lose more than 3 games in the first 3 rounds of the Eastern playoffs. Those will come out a little later once the brackets are set, but I'm just giving you a heads up right now.
Okay.
And then one last not lock, but I'll give you a little tip as a new gambler in North Carolina. You get a lot of free bets, like free $25 bets. I always put a couple on the Masters because golf bets are really – the odds are crazy because you're picking between 160 guys, 120 guys. And a lot of these apps you can buy out during the golf tournament. So, yes. For example, I had Ricky Fowler last year in the U.S. Open. I put $10 down. He was going to win like $420 if he won the tournament. But after round 3, he was leading, and they gave me a cash-out option of $160, and I took it because he just can't – so golf's a good bet. If you have some free bets on the Masters, throw a couple down. You have some great options there. For example, Ludvig Åberg, he's a hot new rookie golfer. I put $5 on him. If he wins the Masters, I win $100. He's plus 2,000. So it's a really good bet. And again, if he's doing well, they'll try to cash you out early. So I get a bunch of guys and I try to cash out all of them to add up to one. So a little trickiness there, but as a golf fan, it's not bad. Even if you don't know golf, you know, even like the top guys, you could still make money on. So they all have plus odds.
I did that over the weekend. I picked a random dude to come in top 10. And I don't remember who I picked, but he was eliminated in the first day. So it was definitely a bad pick. But I bet like a dollar. It was like a dollar to win 15 yeah. or something. So I'll do that again. I remember you telling me about that before. So I'm going to do that more often. I think that's a great.
Yeah, I'll have a couple, right? Like I have Keegan Bradley. I bet $5 on him for the Masters. If he wins the Masters, he wins $900. Think about those odds. $5, you win $900. And if he's leading or doing well, the cash out button comes. You don't take that risk and just make a little double profit on it. I had a guy today, Matt Fitzpatrick, and he didn't win, but at some point I put $5 down and they gave me a $20 cash out. And I took the $20 cash out, made $15.
Yeah, take it and run.
Yeah.
It's free money. Okay. So that's a good tip. You know, to go back to the Celtics for a moment, they played Utah recently. They lost, and I'm not sure that's a team they can beat. I don't think they can beat the Joker.
Oh, you mean Denver, Nuggets.
Oh, yeah. When I say Utah? Yeah, sorry.
Utah. Yeah.
Shows what
Denver,
I mean.
Yeah. I don't want Denver. I think in the previous, we talked about I picked the Clippers. You know, Oklahoma City is by far the best team in the West right now. Of SGA, he's awesome. But I don't want Denver. I don't want Jokic anywhere near the Celtics. Right. This guy's awesome.
But who can beat him? Like, who's going to take him out?
I think the Clippers could. I think Kawhi, you get him going, he could be a threat. But, you know, Oklahoma City's really good. I mean, SGA is lighting up. He's going to be MVP most likely. They have a crazy home crowd there. It's like a college crowd OKC has. So they'll give Denver fits, but the Celtics do not match up well with Denver. So no. I do not want to see the Nuggets in the NBA Finals.
Okay.
No way.
Let's jump over to football for a moment because we have the NFL draft coming up. We already had the free agent period started. And because we're both Boston sports fans, we can be specific too. Like, we'll start with the Patriots. Who do you think they're taking at third pick? You think they're going quarterback at this point? Like, what the hell are they doing this offseason? I'm expecting some big splashes. And I'm getting some puddles.
Well, Mayo said they were going to, quote, burn some cash this winter. We heard full throttle from the Red Sox, and Mayo's quote was burn some cash. Jacoby Brissett does not do it for me, and it's controversial up here. Some people wanted to go with kind of a retread. Some people want to get something a little bit better just to make him competitive. They are 3-14 with Jacoby Brissett. He cannot throw the ball anymore. He's not a good quarterback. And everybody thinks he's just in there to help bring a new guy in. So They're definitely drafting a quarterback. So,
okay,
is it going to be Drake May, which you probably know more about than anybody because he's down from UNC, or are they taking Jaden Daniels, or are they going to trade back and go after Penix or McCarthy? That's basically the two options they have. If I had a pick, I'd take Drake May. I'm more of a pocket passer. He reminds me a lot of Josh Allen, but these things are like, you know. These things you could really misfire on. You can never predict what these quarterbacks are going to be like. But I would keep the pick and take Drake May.
I was hoping that they would even, like you saw the Bears just traded Fields. there must be something about that guy, but I was kind of hoping that that's a pick they could almost trade for and then take Harrison Jr. at three as a receiver.
There's a news story that Fields turned down four teams for trades. Oh, so I'm wondering if one of those is the Pats.
Maybe. Well, that's the thing with free agents. I wonder if people just don't want to come play here. You know, I can't say I blame them, to be honest. They're just, we're in such a transitional period.
Well, we have no one to throw to. And we just, you know, they have no outstanding wide receivers. I'm sorry. The millionaire's tax is a thing up here. So they have to really worry about salaries because there is a certain amount of money they lose new athletes up here, this millionaire's tax. So that's not attractive. It's 30 degrees for half the year. So that's not attractive either. So when you don't have Tom Brady here, right. Doesn't look as appealing as it used to.
Yeah, that's true. That was always a great selling point. You get anyone to come
play with Brady. Yeah, kind of helped you. Yeah, the basic is, do you want to go play in the Super Bowl? Yes or no?
Right, right. Well, now you have a new coach. You have no offensive talent, essentially, or minimal offensive talent going on. Like, why would you want to do that?
The new coach, who's a linebackers coach, a new general manager who's never done this before, no quarterback. The quarterback you have is a retread. Yeah, the Pats, not looking good for our football team.
We'll do the over under on their wins after the draft. How's that?
Can't wait.
Yeah, because right now
it's probably the best 6 weeks of the year. We got the tournament, the Masters, then the draft, and opening day for baseball, then the playoffs. This is like the best 6 weeks. I can't wait. The draft, I cannot wait for.
So we get both basketball and hockey playoffs starting up at the end of May, I believe, is both of those.
April. Yeah.
Even better. So, yeah, we got a decent run coming out of the Super Bowl, if you will, like football season ends and we just keep it rolling. So, fantastic.
What do you think about Kirk Cousins making like $1 billion for 2 years?
I don't know why he's making so much money.
Me neither.
I'm not sure why that makes sense to me. What I am happy about, though, is the fact that the Patriots could get anything from Mac Jones. Like, I'll take that. You know, get him off the roster for now. Let's just put the controversy to bed. Say, see you later.
Yeah, let's get Bailey Zappi either, too. Just get them all out. Clear the house.
Yeah, he's next.
Yeah, Mac, it's Belichick really screwed up Mac Jones. I give it half and half. I think Mac Jones was not a great talent. He had some type of skills, and then we just took it and basically threw in the trash can with the Patricia Judge thing. Yeah. So it just turned into a massive dumpster fire. And wow, just thinking back at the last 2 years, it's time for Mac to go. He'll be happy home in Jacksonville, and he can back up Trevor Lawrence. And Bailey Zappi needs to go next. I don't like the way he carries himself. If a rookie QB comes in, he's going to be all, you know, oh, I'm so great, because that's the way he kind of carries himself. That's not the right guy. I guess that's why Brissett's in there, because he's kind of a mentor type of quarterback, and he'll be okay with it. But Bailey Zappi's got to go. He's next.
It'd be interesting to see. I'm really nervous about drafting the quarterback because you still don't have any weapons for him to throw to. So if you're going to draft a quarterback at three, like you got to sign somebody. You got to overpay for, I don't know, T. Higgins maybe. I don't know if you got to. Well, now he had the franchise tag, so you got to trade for him. There's rumors that Jefferson wants to be traded out of Minnesota. So what do you give up for him? You know, you got to give up a draft pick. Don't give up the number three pick for Jefferson because you got no one to throw him the ball.
Yeah, I think you have to draft a quarterback, sit him for a year, and build some weapons around it later. The wide receiver options in the draft are like a ton of them this year. It's like maybe 10 to 12 really deep. Good wide receivers. Yeah. I don't know if you need Marvin Harrison, but I think he gets someone in the second round. You know, the thing about Wolf, who's the new GM, is he really believes in the Packer way. That's where his father was the GM. And their motto is always by the draft, and you build your draft. And then when you need that big piece to put you over the top, that's when you spend. Then up the most example is Green Bay, always built from the draft in the 90s. And they brought Reggie White in when they needed that one guy to go over the top. That was his dad's motto. And everybody thinks that's what he's doing here too. He's going to build from the draft. Mm. And when they're ready to pounce on a free agent the next 2 or 3 years to really get him over the top, that's when they're going to do it. Not exciting.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to go into this then with a 3 to 5 year plan before you're back in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's going to be tough for the New England fan base to swallow.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. And especially when you see Pat Mahomes closing in on Brady record, and he's going to win him a couple more. And yeah, it's going to be really tough. But you know, in a way, I kind of like when you have young kids trying to fight for, you know, last year was just a bunch of retreads and it just was horrible. You know, they had, you know, Devontae Parker and Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing a couple of young blood trying to figure it out. You know, that's why Houston was great last year. That was a fun team to watch because of all these rookies and a stud new quarterback comes in. That's what you kind of want to see. I think it was 7-9. They show some life. That's all I want this year. Just show me some life and some, like, they could be really good. It's great to be a Texans fan right now because you have that same type of feel. I'm hoping the Patriots can kind of do something like that.
Well, I think you're right, though, right? I don't care if you're losing all these games, but if you're losing them by some random circumstance or, you know, by a touchdown or maybe 3 points, you know, you're in these games to the end because your team has heart. But when you're getting blown out back-to-back weeks, you know what I mean? Just you're giving up at this point. Like you've given up and it's the ugly. Like you get blown out once, you say, all right, and then you recover. But yeah, you got to be in a lot of these games. You can't make these mental mistakes. Let me rephrase that. You can make a mental mistake as long as you learn from it and become better. But if you just continue to make the same mistakes, then you're just bad.
They were walking zombies last year. I mean, like New Orleans, they couldn't score. Dallas. I mean, they were not in it at all last year. They had no heart, no composure.
There was no leadership going on last year. You got quarterbacks. When you look at the body language and even the actual language of someone like Mac Jones, like he's just not a leader. Like he doesn't have the respect of the team. He's a winebag, and he showed it in every way. Like at least from my perspective, I'm not in the locker room with him, but yeah, no thanks. So he had to go. So hopefully they bring, you know, if they get one of these quarterbacks, if they just, they have some championship stuff, you know what I mean? Like you got to have that inner fire and just kind of command that respect for your team. But then you get maybe a couple of young players around them and they just start building a nucleus again and start getting something.
All we want to see. It's how the Celtics got built. I mean, the first couple years of Tatum and Brown, they're like the young guys and you're cheering them on. And now you brought those parts that you need. They probably went to the finals earlier than they should have. A couple of years ago, but same type of thing. If you could just see progression next year, just a sign of life. That's all I want. That's all I care about.
All right. Well, here's hoping.
Yeah, we'll see about that. The rest of free agency is not shocking. Aaron Donald retiring was kind of a shock. I thought he had another year or two left in him. But him retiring from the Rams was kind of a surprise. Minnesota, I have no idea why they're having Darnold be their starting quarterback. They are in for a world of hurt next year, unless they want to move up in the draft. Because he is not a starting quarterback.
Well, I heard they might be. I heard they're trying to move up to either 4 or 5 to slide in for some of the quarterbacks that you mentioned, maybe McCarthy or something like that. So
I love Penix. I do not like McCarthy. McCarthy reminds me of Mac Jones 2.0.
Ugh.
Penix, though, he just had some moxie. I actually almost wouldn't mind the Pats move back and took Penix. I know he's got some ACL issues, but I just like those gamers. That kid dragged that team to the championship game last year. JJ McCarthy, I don't know. I just don't see it.
I guess we'll find out in a couple of weeks. So we'll reconvene on that a little bit, and we'll see how that shakes out and see what goes on. Because we'll circle back on our March Madness picks. We'll circle back on some of the draft. You know, we'll probably have a clearer picture of the Celtics playoff picture, see what they're looking at. Hopefully they can close some games. It could be a good year for them. I mean, we don't really talk hockey at all, but I mean, the Bruins are looking good.
Hey, this is beginning to the best sports time of the year for me. I know football, people love football, but there's so much stuff going on with the playoffs, the draft. It's the one time of year where all four sports are really at action the same day. You have the draft, you have the hockey and the NHL and NBA playoffs, and then baseball's going on. That's really like the coolest, like that to me is my favorite week of the year. Just every team, there's something going on for your teams. Throw in the Masters in the NCAA tournament. There's nothing better, in my opinion, than March and April. And it's no wonder why they're like gambling start in North Carolina right before this happened.
And plus we get Olympics this summer, right? We got Summer Olympics happening.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I'm a big Olympic nut, too. I remember growing up with that. I don't know if what you remember. My first one I really remember is LA 84. I don't remember the 80, unfortunately, the miracle on ice. But I remember 84 really well. So I love the Olympics. It's always fun. Paris is going to be really cool. There's always some great stories. Something always controversial happens in the Olympics every time. If I had a booze lock, my booze lock would be something crazy is going to happen in the Olympics, either dealing with a judge or an athlete or a country. Hopefully it's nothing that is, you know, too serious, but like something on the field. But something always happens kind of wonky in the Olympics, so I kind of enjoy that. And there's always someone who comes out of nowhere that will remember their names the rest of their lives that we've never heard of them until the Olympics. So I'm game to talk Olympics. Do you have a favorite sport? Do you like watching, Mark? Anything crazy?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. So Summer Olympics, I'm going to say I don't have a favorite sport. I want to watch a little more probably track and field this year. I want to see what they're going on because that just reminds me of like high school. And I'm like, I can do that. Like, of course I can. I can jump hurdles, you know, like 30 years ago, maybe. Right. But but I look at it, I'm like, that's not so tough. Like, that's easy. And then like, it's definitely not easy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I like the main ones. I love the sprints. I just think the sprints are so fun to watch in track and field. I think swimming was great. I don't think there's a better sporting event. One of the top 10 I remember watching is Michael Phelps in Beijing in 2008, in prime time. Everybody stood up. They stayed up late to watch him swim. Those races were awesome. Like, he beat one guy by a French guy by a fingertip, and they had a relay that they were supposed to lose to the French, and they won. So those are like the mainstay ones I like a lot. There's a couple crazy ones I kind of like don't mind watching sometimes. The archery is kind of cool to watch. They have these cool things of archery. It's like on like one day. The beach volleyball always gets a lot of play. That kind of bores me though. I know, 2-on-2 volleyball. I think the real volleyball is kind of cool. The normal 5-on-5. They always show the beach volleyball, but that kind of bores me after a while. But the sprints, the swimming is pretty cool. I love the archery. For some strange reason, I thought that was kind of fascinating how good those guys were in archery. And this year they have surfing, and they have some type of dancing contest too. They have some weird dancing thing they're doing too. I don't know.
Can you surf in Paris?
Yeah, the Mediterranean. Go down south, Mediterranean. Catch a couple waves down there, I think.
Get some tubes. All right.
Yeah, we should talk more Olympics. That's fun. It's just a fun, great 2 weeks. So you got me going. We were supposed to talk about Olympics today. Look, we got 3 minutes of Olympic talk.
Well, we'll have to get into that as it gets closer and see what's coming up. I got to see how it's being televised and how I can stream it from where I'm at. So.
Oh, I think NBC is streaming it in every way possible. Okay,
so Peacock is their streaming service.
So. Oh, yeah. Peacock's going to have everything. And they already announced the opening ceremony team, which is completely different. There's Mike Tirico, which we all know, with Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson as the three announcers for the opening ceremonies this year.
Peyton Manning is an awesome announcer. I love Peyton
Manning. Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah. It's such a weird – that's a weird combination, but I love it. Count me in.
Hey, I can't wait till Peyton Manning talks about, like, the country's walking, and he can tell you all about Kakistan and and all these Micronesia, and hear Manny talking about, Micronesia is 2,000 people, and this, like, all the little facts they do in all the Olympics. That's my favorite part of the opening ceremonies is the nation walking. There's a lot of fascinating stuff with that, and it should be actually really.
I'm excited for that now. I'm excited.
Yeah, politically, it's fascinating too this year. With a lot of politics going on in the world, how that's going to be portrayed in the Olympics. It's always politics in the Olympics every time. So there's always that undertone. So it will be an interesting Summer Olympics, which I'm looking forward to. Paris, great, great venue. Top five. I think Paris, Sydney, London, LA, of course. They have LA. Those to me are like really, really good like locations for Olympics.
All right. Well, you heard it here from Booze First. Listen, Mr. Booze, thanks for hanging out today. We got a lot of information, and cool. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening, and stay casual.